Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
This is Absolute Radio Country. I am Ben Earl, and I'm talking to an artist today who's won multiple CMA and ACM awards and also a little old Grammy award. She's part of one of country music's most exclusive clubs. She's a member of the Grand Ole Opry. Carly Pearce, welcome to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to chat to you. I think my first Grammy award winner I've chatted to, I think.
Really?
I'll double check, actually. I'm pretty sure. but you're over for the Grand Ole Opry Live in London. I mean, how did it feel getting the call to do that?
Well, I love the Grand Ole Opry so much. It was always a childhood dream to be able to play that stage, but then obviously to become a member was the most exciting thing in the world. And also, I love the UK. And I love the fans over here. And so I feel like two of my most precious worlds are kind of colliding, getting to bring over this very special experience to a fan base that I love a lot.
Yeah, I mean, country's on like massive rise in the UK, but I think a lot of UK fans won't really know what the Opry, they kind of know what it is, but not really. So can you explain the sort of significance of it?
It's the longest running radio show. And to me, it's like the best variety show you could ever see. So it's a couple hour long show that we do at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. And you may see artists from any decade. You could see somebody from the 60s, 70s. You could see somebody like myself or like Darius Rucker or Luke Combs. Or you could see like the new generation of what's to come for country music. And you play a couple songs each. I guess the best way I can explain it is it's a country music variety show where you could see all different types of artists on one show, one stage, one experience.
I mean, there is nothing like it in any other genre. I've played it myself, and it is incredible. It's always a great lineup, but this is pretty special, isn't it? Like you said, you've got yourself, Darius Rucker, Ashley McBride, Marty Stewart, Luke Combs. Mm-hmm. I think Mumford & Sons are on the bill as well. I mean, you've obviously played a few times, but does it feel like a really special night to bring that to the Royal Albert Hall in the UK? It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, the Grand Ole Opry has never traveled. And to me, it's like taking one iconic place from the States and bringing it to another iconic place in the UK. And I feel like I'm getting to be a part of something that's very historic.
Have you been to Royal Albert Hall before?
No, it's like a bucket list place for me too.
You know, it's really big, but it's really small. At the same time, you're really close to everybody. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
I've looked at pictures.
Yeah, it's quite similar to the Ryman actually, and similar to the Opry as well. Your Opry debut was a decade ago, and I was doing some research. I see you moved to Nashville when you were 19, and you're cleaning Airbnbs at one point.
I debuted on the Opry.
So you debuted, really?
Yes, I know. It didn't go in the order that I had hoped it would, but yes.
Wow. So when you were cleaning those Airbnbs, did you ever think that you would be, I know you played the Opry, but you become a member? Was that, a distant sort of dream?
I feel like I would be lying to you if I said I didn't think that it would happen, because I did. I really believed that this was my destiny from the time I was 5. And the Opry, I knew when I debuted May of 2015, I knew I was going to make it my mission to earn that invitation. And that was something that was really important to me all those years ago. And then as my career, every little thing hit in 2016. And from that moment that I was able to do this on a bigger level, I made the Opry a part of not just my story, but my brand. And when the invitation to become a member happened, it was just, to this day, of all the things that I've gotten to do or awards or whatever, that's the greatest honor, because anybody who's ever meant something to country music gets to play the Opry. But then you think about so few get to be a member.
And your invitation was from someone pretty special. Can you tell the story? Because it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
I used to work at Dollywood when I was a kid, Dolly Parton's theme park. And I thought I was doing a commercial for Dollywood, which was super cool. And I was talking, and Dolly walked out and surprised me, and I thought maybe we were doing the Dollywood commercial together, but she invited me to be a member. So it was the most full circle moment. I'm the only artist that she's ever invited.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, the Opry and Dolly, my mind like exploded.
That's just so, so cool. I've got to say, as a songwriter myself, like, I think you're just an incredible songwriter. Oh. I don't know how else to say that without being a bit weird, but I remember when I first heard Next Girl, and I thought the writing on that was just such a clever twist. But your newish album, Hummingbird, and the deluxe version now, No Rain, No Flowers, I mean, some of the songwriting on there is just, is incredible. I mean, would you think of yourself, if you had to choose between being a songwriter and or an artist, is there one that you put forward or not really?
I've been asked that, like, why I don't write more for other artists. And I would actually say I'm an artist before I'm a songwriter, because I'm actually not a good songwriter for other people.
Okay.
I don't enjoy that. I enjoy only writing from my perspective, like with my voice in mind, my story. But I think it's like all-encompassing, right? It's like you're an artist, but people like Thomas Rhett or Luke Combs, they write for other people. I just don't think I would be very good at that.
I disagree. I'd like to hear.
Maybe I should try it. I'd probably have a lot more money. But.
I've got to say something like, you know, We Don't Fight Anymore.
Yeah.
Which you ended up duetting with Chris Stapleton then. But like, it reminds me of his song Either Way as well.
It's
like,
I wrote it trying to kind of, you know, copy it. I would tell him that if he was sitting here. I think I did tell him that. There are certain songs that really like inspire me as a writer. And so Either Way, honestly, the Leanne Womack version with Chris singing the harmony was so impactful to me when her album, I believe it was on Call Me Crazy, which is one of the greatest female albums of all time. So when I was writing that song, I think I had Either Way in my head. And I heard Chris singing on this one as well, because I just, it was like there was something so magical about the harmony on Either Way.
Yeah, do you know what I love about it as well is that you walk this line, you could come across quite unlikable in a song like that very easily, but you sort of, you know, that loss of love in that song.
Yeah.
I don't seem to blame you or the other person. It's just like, this is just a situation.
Yeah, it's like, I think in a lot of ways, there are many relationships out there that nobody leaves, but it just kind of runs cold. And there can be seasons of that that can be restored, but there can also be like, that can be the moment. And when I wrote it, I was like, this is going to probably bring some uncomfortable truths to a lot of relationships of really the status of where they're at.
Yeah, I think it's I'm very happily married, but it's it's a really moved me, that song, a lot.
Yeah.
I've got to ask about Nashville as well, just in general, because like I said, you moved there when you were 19. And how has it changed for you, Nashville, when you first went there to how you feel about it now? I mean, 16 years there is quite a long time, isn't it?
I have a love-hate relationship with Nashville, particularly Music Row. You know, a lot of amazing things have happened to me. But there was a lot of years of no's and a lot of people that didn't think that I could do it. And I think it's evolved so much, like, as a city, which is exciting. Like, I feel like the surge of country music obviously happening over here is kind of happening in the States as well. Like, everybody wants to come to Nashville. But to your point, I think I've now, some of those like negative memories that I associate with Nashville, I've tried to like pay them forward. And so I try to be like a voice for the next generation, especially female artists, so that they don't have those like negative feelings in Nashville or those negative memories. Yeah. Because I spent 8 years slugging it out before I ever had success, which even though I was 19, I'm 35, and you still have to deal with like that imposter syndrome or whatever that is.
I've seen it firsthand. Like, I was in Nashville a few months ago. I was at the Bluebird, and one of the writers introduced this young artist who was developing, who was a girl.
Yeah.
I think she was 16 or 17 or 18, and she played this incredible song. You know that moment when everyone in the Bluebird goes, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he goes, yeah, great for a girl, isn't she? And I was like, what? You know,
I'd have freaked out. You can tell me off air who that was.
Yeah. But it's that, you know, I don't come back to the songwriting too much, but I think people forget that, like, you're an amazing songwriter. You're an incredible singer, incredible artist, but I just think your songwriting is so incredible.
Yeah.
And I've said that twice now. It's been a bit embarrassing. Your recent duet with Jordan Davis, Mess With Missing You, so how did that come back? So you guys are friends. Are
yeah. To be honest with you, and he knows this, I never knew Jordan sang. Like, I knew his brother.
Yeah.
Jacob, who was an artist around town, and then we were playing a very small writer's round together, and it was Jordan's first writer's round.
Oh, wow.
And I remember being like, I didn't even know you sang. And we kind of formed a friendship there. I used to go to this bar where he was the bartender. So we've kind of come up together and always wanted to do something together and collaborate. And I just think he's like tapped into exactly who he is as an artist, and I'm like so proud of him for that, and it's obviously paying off. And we kept trying to schedule a date. We had a couple dates on the books to write, and it never worked out. Somebody had to cancel, whatever. And so finally, I think he just took like the initiative, which I'm so glad that he did, to write a duet without me, with me in mind.
Yeah.
And honestly, when he sent it to me, I was like, oh yeah, this is why you have like, I don't even know how many number ones he has at this point, because literally I got through a verse and chorus and I didn't even have to finish a song. I knew it was a hit song. I knew that he sounded great and I knew that he wrote it like with my voice in mind. Yeah. And there are very few people in town that like you've really grown up with. Like I grew up with him. I grew up with Brothers Osborne. I grew up with Russell Dickerson in this town and like, and Kelsey. And you can't fabricate those kind of relationships. Yeah. So to be able to collaborate with your friend and be like, do you remember when nobody was at our shows and now we get to do this? So he's one of the nicest people in the world. And I mean, it's a hit. Thanks, Jordan.
As I said, it makes me so happy to see people, you know, you put in that effort and that yeah. work. Like when I read your story about, you know, being signed and then that fell apart. Mm-hmm. And then you know, they call Nashville a 10-year town, as you
for
know.
Sure.
But you both hitting that point, you know, you're doing a duet together at your, you know, you're both at a great point in your careers, yeah. aren't you? How do you feel about where you are at the moment, generally?
How much time do you got?
This is the interesting thing about success. On paper, I've accomplished everything that I wanted to as a kid. And that's awesome. Like, a lot of people can't say that. Like, highest bucket list. Like, I never even dreamt of a Grammy because I didn't think that was possible. But I think, like, I'm in this season where I'm realizing and reflecting in a moment where I'm kind of, you know, I've been working on new music and I'm so excited about that. But I've had a lot of time to reflect of how I've missed a lot of those big moments because I was just trying to survive or look ahead. And I think I'm really trying to get better about being present. And also, like, if your song's not number one on the chart or you aren't nominated for whatever, to not forget, like, you matter. And there's so much wrapped up in this dream where it's like so many of my dreams have come true, but there's also a lot that comes with that. And just trying to stay excited about the future, but also be like, you know what? Like, this is a journey and it's a career. And like, I'm so proud of what I've built, and the kind of music that I make is not typically what you would hear on the terrestrial radio, but I've broken down, in my opinion, a lot of barriers for especially women to be able to write real songs and have real identity. And it's like, own that. Don't be like, oh, well, blah, 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 I don't have this or I don't do this. It's like, I feel really good. I don't know if that comes, I think that comes with, this is my 10th year, or next year will be 10 years since Every Little Thing. Wow. Which is crazy.
It's interesting, because I really relate to everything you just said.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't understand when you have some success or a lot of success, mm-hmm. that feeling like you said, always pushing forward. Like we sold out the Royal Albert Hall, my band,
yeah.
and I don't remember it at all. We got one photo from
Isn't
it because we had to rush off to something afterwards.
Yeah.
And I can't even see it in my mind's eye. And like, we sold the place out. I can't even remember it because I was just looking ahead to the next thing
yeah.
all the time. So I completely get what you're saying.
I think about, like, in one calendar year, I had like number one Grammy, 2-time Female Vocalist of the Year, induction into the Opry. And I maybe was the saddest I'd ever been because I was exhausted. I felt so much pressure. I hadn't even like healed from the music that was pushing my career to the next level, and I missed it. So it's like, I'm on this quest now to like love my dreams, have many dreams, celebrate my dreams, but also like be present for it. The big message that I always tell fans when they leave my show, I want you to believe, like, if you're going through a hard season, that it's gonna not always be like that and you're gonna be able to get past it. And so that's like, to me, the message that has become my message, which I didn't think would ever be my message, but I'm like proud of that.
Carly, thank you so much.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.